Hey friends, very important book coming out from Dr. Andy Woods. Actually, it is out and it is about Christians, our responsibility, and voting. And that's next on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hi, friends. I love the Reverend Charles Finney, and I want to open with a quote from Andy's brand new book. It's called The Bible and Your Vote, Equipping the American Christian to Stand for Righteousness at the Ballot Box. Influence, salt and light. Sounds good. So the Reverend Charles Finney, the leader of America's Second Great Awakening, explained the significance of Christians' role at the ballot box as follows. He said, quote, "The church must take right ground in regard to politics. The time has come that Christians must vote for honest men and take consistent ground in politics. Christians have been exceedingly guilty in this matter, but the time has come when they must act differently. God cannot sustain this free and blessed country, which we love and pray for, unless the church will take right ground." And it goes on, but Finney died in 1875, and this is still a crucial topic today. Dr. Andy Woods, thank you so much for being back on Worldview Matters. Good to see you.
David, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for this book. I want to remind people, midterms are coming up in, gosh, is it next year? It never stops. But you know what? Yeah. We've got a lot of work to do just because President Trump was elected, Donald Trump was elected. There's a good administration in place now. We had been declining for so many decades, and the decay is deeply rooted, I think, in our institutions, our society. Christians have a lot of work to do, and even getting Christians to vote. So I'm thankful for this book. Before we dive into it, Andy, you've got a couple events coming up, and one of them is right at your church. You're hosting a conference. I see Olivier Melnick. I see who else? Bill Federer. Tell us about that. I know it's sold out, but people can live stream.
Yeah, it's basically a Faith for Final Days conference. And, you know, it's a prophecy/worldview conference. So you got Olivier Melnick and Dr. Randall Price and Bill Federer and myself. And this will be our fourth one we've done. And it's just a way to, you know, edify God's people in special areas over a weekend. We've got a banquet at nearby Sugar Creek Country Club, followed by the all-day conference. And then some of our speakers are sticking around that Sunday morning to speak in our normal services at Sugarland Bible Church. But it's the 21st through the 23rd. And even though it says sold out, we still encourage people to sign up anyway to get on the waiting list, because this time of the year, a lot of people cancel and things like that at the last minute. And even if they can't make it into the building, we've got free live stream, which they can get on the Sugarland Bible Church Facebook page, website, the Andy Woods Ministries Facebook page, website, app, etc. So it's going to be a great time.
Awesome. And I want to also plug the Pastor's Point of View that you do every week. How many are you up to now, Andy?
Oh, we just recorded today to be released tomorrow, number 440.
Wow.
And then, like you, sometimes we record a little early. So
yeah,
441 is in the queue also.
Awesome. So one more conference, and then we'll dive into your book and this important topic. And that's the Stealing the Mind Bible Conference. And that's coming up Saturday, March 15. And compass.org. Is there anything else people need to know about that, Andy?
No, I mean, that's going to be Patrick Wood, Brandon Holthouse, Alex Newman.
Wow.
David Reagan, Russ Miller. I mean, these are all people you know that you
heavy
interview
hitters.
All the time.
Yeah.
And so that conference is an all-day Saturday one. That's a great one, too. So people want to sign up for that and check out the streaming options they have at Compass Ministries on that.
Awesome. So compass.org, Stealing the Mind Conference. Okay. In the dedication to your book, Andy, the first words on the page are, "In this age of political apathy, stop right there. Let's talk about what can be done about the disturbing reality of apathy in the church, and especially when it comes to influencing our culture, our communities, our culture, our country for righteousness, being Christians outside of Sunday morning. I know you talk a lot about it in the book, but what are your overall thoughts?
Well, my big thought is the full counsel of God's word. You know, the Bible, if you want to let it speak, is not just a book about how to get to heaven when you die. As important as that topic is, it covers a lot of other stuff: government, worldview, the nature of humans, why humans are different than animals, why crime should be punished, what type of economic systems work and which ones don't work, and why power needs to be decentralized, on and on. You know, who was responsible for the education of children? Endless topics, and we vote on those types of things all of the time. And my concern is that most Christians don't really approach those topics with the Bible in mind. It's just the Bible is a spiritual book, and these other things, you know, people think God left us to our own devices on. But the truth of the matter is, if you let the Bible speak, it'll speak on all these things. And obviously, since we have a rare privilege in this country, you know, to influence leadership through voting, we should let the Bible speak on all the topics, and we should vote accordingly. And I think our country would be in a much better place today, you know, had Christians done that through the ages.
How did we get to, I know this is, you know, another big, we could do a whole podcast on this, the compartmentalizing our faith, I guess, because leaving, you can't leave Jesus in the car when you go in the voting booth to vote and vote some for someone that doesn't uphold biblical principles. But people do that all the time, and they call themselves Christians. But how did that, there's so much confusion, it seems, when we compartmentalize our faith, or we, can you talk to that for a moment, speak to that?
Well, I think it's part of the humanist agenda. You know, they want our Christianity to be like a hobby, like knitting. You know, you take it out every once in a while, but I mean, don't do much more with it than that. And so get back into the church and, you know, keep your Christianity out of the public square. And for whatever reason, we've bought into the humanist agenda. And I like your word, compartmentalize or bifurcate. I mean, we've bifurcated our Christianity from all of these issues for such a long time, following the humanist mindset, that we're really out of sorts with what God says in his word. So a lot of it is we're intimidated. We don't understand public policy, so we get scared, and we get sort of bullied by humanists saying, you know, keep your Christianity in the closet. You know, it's kind of interesting. Everybody today is coming out of the closet.
Yeah.
And we're told to get back in the closet. So,
or stay behind church doors. You can worship or believe in that Jesus stuff in the Bible on Sunday, but don't you come out into, you know, culture, the workplace, or Monday through Saturday. And that's, we've bought that, sadly, haven't we? And that's how do you share the gospel if you're not out in public, if you're not trying? And how, let me speak to this, Andy, for a minute. I just thought about the argument of you can't legislate morality. And to me, that's so ridiculous, because someone's morality is legislated every time a law is passed, isn't it?
Well, the left legislates their version of morality all the time.
I mean, right.
They're the ones going after bakers and cake designers and website designers who won't lend their skills, like Jack Phillips, for example, you know, to the LGBTQ plus agenda. And they want to just drag the guy through the judicial system. Aren't they imposing their brand of morality on him? So, I mean, if you don't want to legislate morality, let's play fair. Everybody don't, but obviously that's not the way it works. Somebody's morality's got to prevail. And our founding fathers wanted the Ten Commandments and the Christian worldview to prevail.
So, Andy, you refer to this verse often, Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. How would you respond to the argument that as maybe a sincere Christian or maybe an ignorant Christian, but someone that says, well, we haven't been a righteous nation for 100 years or something like that. So why would I go, you know, vote for secular candidates who, you know, aren't Christian?
Well, I mean, we can change that. We can change who the candidates are because we have the ability to participate in the process. And the people making that criticism can run for school board or, you know, whatever, you know, on their own. And so I don't know how much of an excuse that is when we have so much freedom to participate, you know, in the process. But I love that Proverbs 14:34 because it doesn't say, you know, interest rates exalt a nation. You know, tax cuts exalt a nation, all these things we get focused on sometimes as conservatives. What it says is righteousness exalts a nation. Hmm. I mean, any nation has the ability for greatness when righteousness prevails. And obviously, there's no such thing as a perfect country. We all have a sin nature. You can look into American history and find shortcomings there, just like you can in any country. But proverbs are basically general maxims or principles, you know, all things being equal, this is how the world normally works. And generally when the righteous people, you know, take their stand in the appropriately in the marketplace of ideas, good things happen. Mm. And we just have to, you know, what does it say there? Also in the Proverbs, you know, when the wicked rule, the people groan. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. So, you know, let's let the book of Proverbs say what it wants to say in terms Amen. Of how we should participate in our republic.
Amen, brother. Also in the book, you talk about, you mention the people that have certain mindsets and use excuses such as, my vote doesn't matter anyway. And then you say, the United States cannot afford to have Bible-believing Christians approach voting in this way. Because that's just an excuse. I mean, we take our freedoms for granted, and someone's going to end up influencing our country, our children. Look at the entertainment industry. Look at corporations. And is there anything else you would like to talk about as far as some of those, the defeated voter, the party loyalist, the lifestyle voter? You go through a lot of these. I thought those were very, very good, helpful too.
Yeah, it's like a lot of people, they don't vote. And when they do vote, they vote for all these other reasons, family, background, party loyalty. You know, as you mentioned, I list many of them. And the point of the book is to just do a topical Bible study and say, you know, why don't we do it this way? Why don't we vote the way on the things God says are important, that he's disclosed truth on, you know, in his word, and vote based on that. And the whole culture would be different, you know, if the majority of Christianity did that.
Talk to us about stewardship, because that's what you hit early on in your book and the importance, not to be confused with controlling the earth or taking dominion, right? But stewardship, that isn't that a responsibility of the Christian?
Yeah. And what's required of a steward? First of all, what's a steward? A steward is not an owner, but a manager. You know, it's someone that manages something on someone else's behalf. Mm. And Christianity that's a basic teaching. We are stewards of the three T's, I call them, time, talent, and treasure. Each of us have those to differing degrees. And we're supposed to manage those things for God because they're God-given. And he's going to hold people to an account regarding what they did, you know, with those three T's. And then for the American Christian, I would add another thing to our stewardship list. It's our own government, because our government was designed that we could participate in it. I mean, most people around the world could only dream, you know, of such a privilege. And I think God is going to hold the American Christian, you know, accountable for that realm of stewardship, you know, as well. And it even goes down to right down to stewardship of the earth. I mean, we're kind of, as conservatives, portrayed as being anti-environmental. I'm not anti-environmental. I'm very pro-environmental. I mean, I like clean air and water like everybody else, but I don't look at my environmentalism as Gaia or earth worship.
Yes.
I'm looking at it as Genesis 1, let's govern this planet that God put us over. not right. to worship it, but to manage it on God's behalf based on his priorities.
And that's a worldview issue too, because we're not putting nature or the earth above human beings. And but yet the left, they have this whole other ideology. We've got to take a brief pause. We're with Dr. Andy Woods, The Bible and Your Vote, Biblical Principles for Any Election. And there are some big elections coming up. We just got to get more people engaged and involved. And we'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Introducing Patriot Mobile, the wireless carrier that stands with you. We are committed to supporting the values that make our nation great. With affordable plans and reliable nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless service. It's a call to action for those who believe in the American dream.
Get free activation now with promo code David. Friends, thank you. We are blown away by the recent activity with increase in podcast viewers and listeners and video viewers and the show viewers. But I want to just mention, I've been told by the executive producer here that we've been averaging 250,000 downloads per podcast. And that's thanks to you. And we've got a lot of great people behind us getting us out there. So it's just astounding to me. We've been doing this for less than 2 years. Andy Woods, in the back of your book, thank you for putting some resources, ivoterguide.com, christiansengaged.org, christianvoterguide.com. Thank you for that. So back to the table of contents, section two is economic issues, because you talk about exploring these different issues, the economic, social, climate, power and personal rights, and foreign policy. So you mentioned the economy or economic issues and, you know, tax breaks and our concern about interest rates. Those aren't the main reasons we vote, but being responsible with our money and what our government does, that's important. How do you balance those out in that little section on economic issues?
Well, I think those are things God has spoken to. And there's a reason communism or Marxism has failed everywhere it's been tried. It has to do with they're built on a wrong view of man. They think people will work hard for the common good. And the doctrine of total depravity, you know, taught in the Bible, you know, denies that. People will work hard and unleash their God-given abilities when they have an ability to benefit from their own labors and their own sweat. And a Marxist system takes that away from people. You know, whatever they make goes into some kind of common pot. But a economy that's more based on the individual and lets people keep more of what they make, those types of societies tend to flourish because people are basically self-centered at heart. They'll labor and work if they themselves can benefit. So what's at the root of the whole thing? It's a biblical understanding of man. The Bible doesn't portray man as inherently good. I mean, that's why we all need Jesus as our Savior, because we're all tainted by original sin. And what I was trying to say in that section of the book, among some other topics, is let's just keep tracing that doctrine through and let it inform our worldview. Because if you understand that, you'll understand very quickly why some economies succeed and some fail. It's based on, some are built on a realistic assumption of who man is according to Scripture, and some are built on an unrealistic assumption.
So you would not be in favor of owning nothing and being happy. We will own nothing and be happy. I want to quote you on page 16, because you talk about private property. And we tend to forget that's an economic issue. That's a very important issue when it comes to freedom as well. And you say, the Bible favors the ownership of private property. Our leaders must uphold the biblical persuasion of the sacredness of private property and not regard it as a source that can be siphoned, taxed, or regulated away under the cloak of social justice or in pursuit of the higher good. Talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just another way the Bible is informing the voter. The Bible is a pro-private property book. Yeah, in other words, when God says don't do something, he's protecting something. You know, don't murder. He's protecting the sanctity of life. Don't commit adultery. He's protecting the sanctity of marriage. And when he says in two of the commandments, don't steal, and another one, thou shalt not covet, he's protecting something, which is the sacredness of private property. So private property is important to God. And to be frank with you, there's a lot of people in office today or running for office that really could care less about private property. You remember Obama, to Joe the plumber, said he wanted to spread the wealth around, you know, which is an attack on private property. So, you know, the first thing you ask a candidate in terms of figuring out where their worldview is what do they believe about private property? Do they believe in the concept or not? And the ones that do should get our votes. The ones that don't should be rejected.
You talk a lot about social issues. In fact, you've got, you know, many of them in one of the chapters here. And when we hear that, we usually think, oh, that's just probably just talking about the LGBTQ and, you know, the sexuality. But this is really good that you put in number seven, social issue number seven, public expressions of Christianity. This is an issue of freedom. This is an issue of free speech. It has to do with sharing the gospel, with making disciples, with not being ashamed of our faith and not being discriminated against, censorship. There's so much involved with just public expressions of Christianity. So share a little bit more about that.
Well, Jesus said, you know, preach the gospel to every creature. So once he said that, I have a vested interest in understanding the laws that give me the ability to do that. Paul, as you know, in the book of Acts, routinely used Roman law to advance the cause of evangelism. So I want to know, when I'm voting for someone, does a candidate favor the fairness doctrine, which is against free speech? Do they favor hate speech laws, which goes against free speech? Do they favor these free speech zones where you can only allowed to have free speech in a very narrow place on public school, you know, campuses, and everything else is sort of considered, you know, a safety zone where you're not allowed to articulate your ideas. So these are the topics that we should all be interested in, because how people govern us in those areas determine whether we can fulfill the Lord's commandment or not, you know, fulfill the Great Commission.
That's right. And you also say in that same chapter, when we become aware of Satan's gradual erosion of biblical expression in the public square, we are responsible to stand against this tide. I don't think a lot of Christians get the memo on that and understand that we are not to just conform to the world or just compromise. We are to resist that, right?
Yeah. Well, Obama, you remember, started using the expression freedom of worship. That's a game changer. Freedom of worship is what you can do in the church, the narrow confines of the church. That's not what the First Amendment says. It says freedom of speech, meaning my constitutional protections that protect me in church protect me anywhere I go.
Yes.
In the public square, in the school, in the workforce. And so we're living in this society where free speech is always being eroded. And for the Christian, that should be a big concern, because that has a bearing on what we're going to do, you know, with the Lord's command in terms of fulfilling the Great Commission, preaching the gospel to every creature.
Okay, one of the issues that in chapter 6, foreign policy, and we are running out of time quickly, Andy, is you mentioned open borders, and you mentioned defending our boundaries. And is that a biblical principle? I know Israel was given certain boundaries. The land was mapped out, what God would give them. And do we have a right to defend our borders, to close our borders, to defend ourselves? Because that's a huge issue that I think is confusing even to some Christians in churches today.
Yeah, and that was probably the definitive issue probably in the last presidential election cycle, this issue of open borders. Mm-hmm. And what you'll discover as you get into the Word of God is that's actually a Bible issue. Like all these issues we're speaking of, God at the Tower of Babel created the individual nation state. He doesn't want humanity governed according to Tower of Babel global governance, but according to individual nations. And what do you have to have for an individual nation state? You have to have enforceable borders, or you're not really a nation. And that's Acts 17, verse 26, and other passages. So that's just another example where the Bible is speaking to the very issues that are on our minds constantly.
So we were just under 3 minutes now, and I didn't get to some of the questions I wanted to ask you. But obviously, there's a map in the back, toward the back of the book here. You do talk about Israel and what a huge issue that is, just outside of maybe the book now in this conversation and the Trump administration, Netanyahu just visited the White House. How do you see that playing out? Because that is a biblical issue, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Israel. I mean, did you see how happy Netanyahu was speaking next to Trump, those two podiums set up?
Yeah.
I didn't see that happiness when Biden was in office. In fact, I didn't even see Biden with Netanyahu. You know, he was usually persona non grata, you know, shall we say. But that's a huge issue because mm-hmm. the Bible, Genesis 12, verse 3, gives a foreign policy statement and says, if you bless the nation of Israel, you'll be blessed. And if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Well, I don't know about you, David. I'm sure you feel the same way I do. I want to be blessed. I want our country blessed. So I want to make sure we're on the right side of Israel, not, you know, running around saying from the land to the sea, the land of Palestine shall be free. I don't want to go around saying stuff like that because that'll bring God's curses on me. Hmm. And so that's just another example where a key foreign policy issue of our time is rooted in Scripture.
Yep. And we need to continue to pray for President Trump and the administration, Mike Huckabee, and all those who are going to be working with Israel with policy. Andy, thank you for this book. I pray, friends, it's not a thick, long book. It's not tedious to get through. It's very easy to read. It's got some very important topics and concepts in there that we need to either be reminded of, we need to know or learn, and get other Christians to know these. Hey, it's a small enough book. You can buy a bunch of them and give them as gifts. So there's my plug. If you've got things, events, you can give people these books. Andy, anything you'd like to share in the last couple seconds here?
Well, I guess I would say, you know, the salt doesn't do a lot of good when it's in the salt shaker. So, you know, at some point we have to get out of our comfort zones and, you know, maybe do things that we wouldn't normally do, like write an article to the newspaper or pick up the phone and call a congressman or run for school board ourselves, because, you know, I mean, who, if we're not going to do it, the other side will do it.
Yeah.
And we'll find ourselves in a world of hurt, and our children and grandchildren simply won't inherit the blessings of this republic that we inherited.
Amen. The left doesn't stop. They're always engaged. We've just got to get back, or actually get more Christians involved. Brother, thank you so much. We'll do this again. Appreciate your time today.
All right, David. Good to be with you. Thank you.
All right. You're most welcome. Guys, thank you again. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.